say thank you for this church. I thank you for who we are. And Lord, who we are is because of who you are. And without you, we are nothing. Without you, we're just, I don't know what we're doing. We're just kind of hanging out, really. But Father, without you, we have no power, we have no purpose. And so, Lord, I just pray as we sung that you would be welcome, that we would allow you to lead us, not just today, but every day. But as I just share a word, may you be present. May our hearts be attentive. May our ears be listening. May our eyes be open. And may we be willing to hear what you're saying to us today. Thank you for who you are and who you're making us. Amen. First of all, I want to say thank you. Thank you for everyone who participates in our church community. Everyone who attends, who serves, who participates and gets involved. There's work on the property, in the kitchen and cafe, welcoming at the door, ushering in the service, leading worship, overseeing the tech side of things, helping with kids' church, helping out with the youth program, doing dishes and lawns, leading and attending life groups, praying for the things that are happening amongst us, sitting with others when they are sick, sharing a meal with them, celebrating the successes of life with others, thinking of others through the week and giving them a call, sharing our faith with your neighbours and your friends, supporting CAP and our community lunch and the other things that we are doing. There are plenty of things going on, isn't there? And I probably missed stuff. I've been kind of thinking I don't want to miss anyone out, but there is a lot of things that go on in the life of a church. Some of them kind of official, you know, programmed, and others, and in fact I'd say possibly even the more important part is what isn't seen and what isn't proclaimed and what isn't. It's the obedience that we step out into, just caring for each other and being available for each other. See, church is us. It is not a program that we attend. It is us walking together in the mission of Jesus in this world. In the AGM report, and you would have seen a poster out there of kind of, I like doing a bit of a theme. I don't know why, it's just the way I function. But I've made it disciples that are engaged in the mission, because that's who we are. When Jesus called his disciples to follow him, he didn't say to them, hey, look, I'm going to teach you how to change the world by being all powerful and all knowledgeable. He didn't say, I'm going to teach you how to make bad people just go away and to kill them off. He didn't say he would teach them how to build a big organization or build a better building than the temple that was there at the time. He said he would change them into people who would call others into the journey of growing into Christ-likeness. And he started by saying, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What he was saying is that if you become my disciples, then you will become people who draw others to me, to Christ, to Jesus, to the Lord. And after 3 years of walking with them, and if you know that journey, it would have been a big lesson in patience for Jesus. He says to them, go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. After 3 years, he released them. If you like, he deployed them to be his people in this world. You know, when we follow Jesus, we are not simply joining a team that is more powerful than any other team. Although, it is powerful in a kingdom way. When we follow Jesus, we're not simply joining a club that has better benefits than any other club. Although, the benefits are kind of out of this world, aren't they? You know, when we follow Jesus, we're not simply attending an activity that keeps us busy with good things. Although being involved in the church means we do some great things together. See, when we respond to the call to follow Jesus, what we're called to do is to participate in the mission of Jesus, which is to love God and to love our neighbor all of the time, in every aspect of our life, above all other things. We are called to engage in the mission. We are called to participate and to make his life our life. We are called to be transformed into his likeness by learning to understand and live the life that we were made to live. We are called to leave behind our self-centered, sinful way of living and to live with Jesus at the helm, so to speak. The way Jesus lived, the way Jesus calls us to live. When we think about discipleship, when you look it up on a dictionary, when you go into Bible dictionaries that talk about it, we see that a disciple is a learner, a follower, a pupil, or a student of another. But a disciple is not simply a student that just listens to a lesson simply for information. The New Testament understanding of discipleship is one who walks alongside another. It is one who accepts the instruction of another and makes it their rule of conduct in their life. In other words, if we want to be disciples of Jesus, then we must accept his command and then make it the rule that we live by. Does that make sense? Even when it is challenging, even when it doesn't suit me or you, when it doesn't suit us, even when our natural response wants to do something different, even when we don't actually understand how on earth it's going to make a difference, we trust and obey. We do it because we know that our good God has good plans for us and the world we inhabit. Because it's actually not just about you. It's not just about me. It's actually about us. And when we study God's word, we realize that God is talking to people, not a person. Although he does speak directly to individuals, but he's speaking to you, but he's also speaking to the person on your right and the left, the one behind you, the one above you, the one that's living down the road from you. He's talking to the whole world. See, disciples are people who are fully engaged in the work of God in this world. And the work of God is to obey what he commands. It's about living as if he is God, as if he is the one who calls the shots, as if he is the one that we are trying to please, not ourselves. See, the mission of God that Jesus modeled was to reveal the coming kingdom by living faithfully the word of God. And Jesus was the word made flesh. He was the word, what the word looks like in the flesh, what it looks like. But the mission of God is also about seeking out lost people and pointing them to the reality of God's kingdom and inviting them to walk with us as we see the kingdom revealed in and amongst us. We are part of the mission that God has in this world. And the mission hasn't stopped simply because you are saved. As Anthea said a couple of weeks ago, and I think a couple of years ago, and probably a few years before that, and in fact I think you said, Anthea, I say this a lot, is we are saved. And we are being saved. And we are yet to be saved. We'll be saved, yeah. See, it's a journey, a process, The mission is salvation. The mission is salvation from lostness, from sin, from evil. There's salvation from the enemy, from the rule and the reign of the enemy, from the oppression of the enemy. It's salvation from ourselves. It's salvation from sin, self-centered living. The mission is also salvation to the rule and reign of God. It's not just from, it's also to. When we engage with that mission, when we first responded to the call of God to believe, is that you? Have you responded to God's call to come and follow him? I'm glad two people have. Have you responded to the call of God to come and follow him, to repent, to change, to walk in the light of his glory and his grace? That's awesome. I thought you'd forgotten for a moment, but that's so good. So when we first respond, this is the point where we accept Christ as our Savior and our Lord, but we are also called to engage in the process of salvation or the process of justification that is worked out through obedience to what Jesus commands us. To be engaged in the mission is to live lives as if Jesus is Lord, as if we are being changed. Do you know that when you said, yes, you are my Lord, when you died to yourself and he came into your life, do you know that you are now being transformed? It's obvious, isn't it? Some days. How many of you are frustrated when you aren't where you want to be? Come on, you know, none of us are there. But we got to remember, we are being saved. We are in the process of being transformed. The salvation of Christ is being worked out in our lives as we obey and live in obedience to what we are commanded to do. Our community here, the community that we call Wainuiomata Baptist Church, is meant to be a community of people who are engaged with the mission of salvation, participating by responding to Christ with repentance and then living in repentance. Repentance isn't a one-time thing, it's a you change and continue in that change, following Jesus by being obedient to his commands, by being obedient to the word of God in everything we do. Being engaged in the mission means that we take what Jesus has said and we work it out in our day-to-day with each other. Not just independent, but with each other. See, the following Jesus is not just about following rules. It is trusting the Lord that what he says has huge implications for me, my life, my eternity, but also my family and the community that I live in. So when I'm being obedient, it's not just about making sure I look good. It's not just about making sure I have eternal salvation. It's actually far more greater than that. And so when we obey, it's not an oppressive demand. It's actually a freedom that God is giving us that takes time to work out. You know, the rich young ruler came to Jesus saying, what must I do? What's the one thing I have to do to earn eternal life, to have eternal life? And of course, Jesus says, just obey the commands, you know, obey the law. And he's going, but I've done that. Now, we could get into all sorts of things about how well or not, you know. But ultimately, Jesus could see that he missed the point. He didn't know how to obey. He thought he was, but he wasn't gaining the life that comes from obeying. And so what did Jesus say? Get rid of your riches. Get rid of what you think is the reward, which is not eternal, and then come and follow me. Why? Because I'm going to teach you how to obey. I'm going to teach you what it looks like to obey. Right there we see the most amazing picture of what it looks like to be a disciple, is to come alongside and to follow someone, to learn from them, and then to begin to live what it means to be a follower of Christ, to be engaged in the mission. See, when I obey the Lord, I show him that I love him. That's the first thing. When Jesus says to me, Royce, whether it's a word spoken or whether it's the word written, I show that he is who I love. That's the first thing. Because I put his will before my own. When I obey the Lord, I prove also that he loves me. Do you know how? Because by allowing his will to be worked out in my life, I begin to see the good that he has in store for me and for those around me. As we said two weeks ago, Liz and I had our 25th wedding anniversary last week, and we went away as we have for 25 years. We've done it, as those of you that know us, we've done that every year for 25 years. What I find, like this year was no different in one sense, but in one sense I'm like, 25 years, old people get married for 25. But realizing that actually in those 25 years we've matured somewhat. I'm growing. We haven't made it, we're on the journey, but as I look back, we've put into practice some of the things that we've read, some of the things we've heard, some of the things we've observed. And to be honest, I've avoided some of the things I've observed. and we have got a thriving marriage that not only is a blessing for us, but has been a blessing for our children. And has been a blessing for I don't know how many people around us. Now, I'm not saying that arrogantly, but I just know that many people have said to me and to us, thank you for who you guys are and what you do. Now, we've got a wedding video. We had a video of our wedding, and I was watching because we now, the minister, the pastor that married us, he spoke over us. I didn't realize it at the time, but it was kind of prophetic, I guess. And I just went and I listened again, and I went, yeah, what he said is coming to pass. And he basically was saying, as you guys learn to walk in the love with each other, it will shape and influence other people around you. Now, we haven't done it for that reason, but that is the natural product of walking with Jesus. It's the, Now, of course, I'm sorry for everyone else, but I married the perfect woman, and because she's just awesome, and it's easy as no problems whatsoever, right? Did you hear Liz said stop lying? Okay, I want to tell the truth here. What she means is that I was the one that was easy to walk with. And no. As we've walked with each other, we've learned, we've grown, it's helped me understand the word. Because I've had to live it out. I've had to do it, and I can't escape my family. I can't escape my wife. I sleep in the same bed with her, live in the same. It's really hard to get away from the reality of wrong, sinfulness, self-centeredness when you're living in the same sort of space as another. And so for me, I've found my wife and then my children have been the best environment for growth for me. And every time I tried to point the finger, I kind of felt a bit confronted about my own. But that's the thing, and this is the thing, when we walk, we're engaged with each other, we're engaged in the mission as we walk to each other. See, Jesus said to his disciples, people would know that you are my disciples, is what he said, by the way you love each other. It didn't say how big the church was. It didn't say how impressive the mission was. It didn't say how powerful the spirit encounters were. He said, they will know you're my disciples by the way you engage with each other. If it's a Jesus way, it's a love. It's a love for each other that kind of confounds the world. It doesn't always make sense, but it makes sense in the kingdom perspective. See, when we love each other as Jesus loves us, then people can see we're not doing this for ourselves. We're not doing, but people can see that we are not our own. We are owned. We are under someone else. That is God. That is the King of all kings, the creator of all that we see and own. That Jesus is present in the way we make room for each other. We prove he is our Lord when we walk faithfully. Living it out, just not just talking about it, not just going, yay, Jesus, you're cool because it's Sunday, but actually getting up every day and going, Jesus is Lord, and I'm not feeling it right now, but that doesn't matter. I'm going to worship him anyway. See, his kingdom is present when we live alongside others who are different to us, and yet we treat them as if they're not. We treat them as fellow people that we're inviting into this journey of going along with Jesus. And I'm sort of speaking this as if I'm all good and I've got it all right. But sometimes actually I need to be invited to go a bit deeper because my journey's a bit off track sometimes. That's part of community. We can be there to challenge and encourage each other. But it's not something we do simply because we're in the building here. It is something that we do because of who we are and who Christ is. Church is not an activity. It is not a program. It is not a lesson. It is not just a bunch of works. The church of Christ is an identity. We are in him and he is in us. See, when we gather, it is a gathering of people who know and proclaim that Jesus is the Christ, not just with our words, but with our very actions. Every part. It actually is even with our thoughts. It is a community of believers that live as if, dare I say it, Jesus is Lord. It's an assembly of people who are not of this world. It is an assembly of people who are born again, believing in Jesus and knowing that he is the Son of God and trusting his words and his way, that it is good and it is right. And when we gather, this is something far more than a group of people who just come in and don't do wrong stuff. Because we all fail, don't we? But what we are a people who are learning to inhabit righteousness, learning to inhabit that what Jesus is calling us into. By his Spirit living within us, every action and every word spoken and every interaction and conversation, Christ is revealed through our living, gracefully, compassionately, and truthfully, because of who we are in him. See, the church is a community of disciples that gather to celebrate what God is doing in us. Did you know that? When you come to church, are you coming so that someone can fill you? Or are you coming to celebrate what God is actually doing in the day-to-day of your life? Now, we do receive, don't get me wrong, we do receive from coming to church. We do, the Spirit fills us and the Spirit empowers us and other people encourage us and hopefully the Word strengthens and all that. But actually, when we come, are we coming with a sense of, I want to tell others that, you know, what God is up to? And you might not even have to use your words. It might be just with you turning up. You know, I notice this one thing I've learnt walking with my kids. I know my kids very, very well, and I know when something's wrong, and I know when something's right. I can tell. And as we gather and as we walk together, we should know God's at work in you. God's at work in you. We can see it. It might be the way you talk, but it's definitely in the way you act and the joy that you bring. Now, that won't always be the case. Sometimes you might be on a bit of a down. And you need some encouragement and some compassion and some people to gather around you. And that's okay. Just be real about that. But as a church, we're there for each other, aren't we? Now, this work is evidenced by what's happening, not just within, but among us. And it may include activities. And it may include programs. And it may include lessons. And it may include works. But those are just structures that help us to love each other as we grow in Christ. See, our transformation is shown by the reality of how we care about each other. We care about our kids and want them to come to know the Lord, not just our kids, I'm talking about our kids. We care about our youth and we want them to grow to trust the Lord as they grow in life and start to head towards adulthood and doing independence and all that. We care about our parents as they navigate the challenge of raising children in a world with many, many perspectives on what truth is nowadays. We're aware of that. We care about our single people as they do life in a world that's kind of set up for families and couples and the challenges that brings for them. But we also care about our couples who negotiate this world that seems to be promoting individualism. Have you ever found that kind of weird contrast between, you know, you really should be with somebody, but you don't want to be tied to them? It's a really weird, crazy thing, isn't it? We care about our seniors who are learning to live through the change and maybe even the loss of things like career or spouse or maybe even independence. We care about the person sitting on their own when we know lots of other people and can talk to anyone, but we notice that someone hasn't got anyone to talk to. We care about the one who has been struggling with illness for weeks, and we come alongside them to see how we can help. And we care about the ones who are faithfully serving us week in, week out, and just seem to have it all together and never have any issues. We care about them too, don't we? See, we care by coming alongside each other and getting involved in each other's lives. We help out with things like our cafe and our kids' programs. We get involved with the youth and with worship. We participate by greeting each other at our services and visiting each other in our homes. We get to know each other by having a drink in the cafe and by inviting each other to our homes for a meal. We show love by making time to listen to other people's stories and asking them how life is for them at this moment. And we grow in faith by sharing our time and our resources as the needs arise. If we are engaged in the mission of God, of salvation for all who might believe, then we seek out opportunities to learn about Jesus for ourselves. And we want to know his ways so we can grow. But we also do that for others who are wanting to learn. Do you know anyone that's wanting to learn about Jesus? If not, start talking. Start getting alongside. And then maybe from those conversations, the questions come. And we want to seek out how can they grow. But we put into practice what we're learning, what is commanded in Scripture. We put into practice what Jesus says, follow me and do what I do. That is how we grow in faith. We do life together by actively gathering in groups to learn Scripture together, to pray with each other and to be aware of each other's lives. We share the burdens of life by coming alongside others to understand what we are wrestling with and ask about how we might help. And when Jesus told his followers to make disciples and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, he is not saying to them, just go and tell them a whole bunch of rules and let them sort it out. What he's calling us to do is a walk of loving each other, speaking the truth, but getting alongside to help them learn what it means to obey. That's far more challenging than just, here's a bunch of rules, stick it on your fridge. Obeying the commands of Jesus is tough, isn't it? Loving one another is tough. But we do it together, and it's very, very rewarding as we walk together. So if you want to grow in faith, I encourage you and challenge you, put into practice what you know, what is really obvious, what is taught and spoken about in the Bible. And then get alongside others as they are doing the same. Challenge each other, encourage each other, and teach each other what it means to obey the commands of Jesus. See, people grow in faith when they are actively engaged in the mission of Jesus. They come alongside others that are ahead of them on the journey to learn, to glean, to seek to understand, and they get alongside others who are behind them on the journey to offer advice and to encourage and to strengthen. And in that, we all journey together. Are you encouraged? I hope so. Because as I look around, as I talk with people, as I sit down and have conversations, and I see and hear what is happening, I am encouraged. Because I hear people sharing some of the things that are going on in their lives, and I think, you know what? God's at work. That may not always be really obvious straight away, but God's at work. Our life groups are places where people are sharing the journey, and it's encouraging to see. I love hearing some of the things that are coming out and what our groups are doing at the moment. Doing life together, sitting with Scripture, but also sitting with the realities of life and challenging each other to trust Jesus, to trust his commands, to put it into practice and do it together. Our community gatherings, our church services, our community lunch, our other things that happen are places where friends are invited. I've noticed a little bit more of that happening. A few more other people are coming into our community. They're actually attending where they're asked. Our consideration and our love for each other is growing, I think, what I see. Perhaps we're being a bit more tolerant of people who are a bit different. We're learning to understand that God is at work in them. And so when I look and I see the kingdom of God, and I would say the kingdom of God is at work within us and amongst us as we engage in this mission that Jesus has come into our world to deploy us in. See, as our vision says on the wall, is that we exist to see Wainuia Mata become a Christ-centered community. Is that what you're about? Or is that just what you do here? See, this is not this vision, this idea to see Wainui become a Christ-centered community is not simply about people coming to this church. Although it might include that. It is about calling others to become disciples, followers of Jesus, and walking with them as they learn to obey what that means and what that looks like. Discipleship is not the domain of a select few. We are all called to love others and to help them know Jesus by living faithfully engaged in the mission of salvation and helping each other to learn. Has anyone made it yet? Has anyone got there and got every aspect mastered? Of course not. We're all growing. And there might be some that feel like they're just reaching up to those that are ahead or reaching forward, say, help, help, help. And there might be some that feel like they're giving a lot to those behind them, but we all need to be reaching forward. We all need to be reaching behind and encouraging. And when we do that, I think the world sees what Jesus said. They'll know you're mine. They'll know you're my disciples, because that's how we love each other. So as we begin this meeting, we need to remember that is why we exist, why we're here, and why we continue to be present 65 years after this particular church was first planted, and after 2,000 years since Jesus first sent his disciples into the world and proclaimed and told them to go and make disciples. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for your word. I thank you for your will and for your purpose. I thank you that you are Lord and you are God, and that in you we can trust you, because you are good and have amazing things for this world. Father, may we believe it. May we know that by being obedient, you are able to work in us and through us and around us in ways that we may not always know at the time. But when we faithfully care and love for each other, both in the church and for those we come across, we are proclaiming your kingdom every moment we turn up, every time we open our mouths, every time we do something, we are speaking about who is our Lord and who is our God. So Father, again, I just say, be present with us, not just today, but always as we follow you in this amazing journey being yours. Amen. 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 Awesome.